All right, I think so. Good afternoon. I'm Judge Flory. I'm the presiding judge here this afternoon, and with Chief Judge Siegel and Judge Hooten also on the panel. Our next and last case is Robert Meller versus City Heights Condominiums at Center Village, court file A20-0535. Just a couple of preliminary comments. We are allowing public viewing of these arguments in this pilot here today. So I would just remind everyone that the court rules prohibit any independent recordings of these proceedings. The court will post a recording of the proceeding in its normal course of business on the court website. I would ask counsel and any others that are actually appearing on the proceeding, it's helpful, I think, if we mute our mics when we're not talking to prohibit or to, so we're not hearing rustling of paper and things like that. There's a timer on the screen that you should be able to see. I'll also keep track of the times, and each side here will have 15 minutes for your preliminary arguments or your main arguments, and counsel for appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. So with that, please identify yourselves for the record as you begin your arguments. And with that, counsel for appellant, you may proceed.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Robert Meller, and I represent the appellants in this matter.
And you may proceed, Mr. Meller.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court. This case represents two significant issues. The first significant issue is, may a condominium association assess a shell storage unit for expenses which offer no benefit to that storage unit at all under the terms of the binding declaration and the statute requiring an obligation of good faith? The second issue involves the assessment of attorney's fees. And the key issue there is, where a homeowner is at all times current on all assessments, and the declaration provides for attorney's fees for the association for cost of collection, can attorney's fees be assessed when the homeowner is at all times current and there is nothing to collect? I'd like to spend just a few minutes explaining the context of the condominiums and the facts underlying this litigation. The condominium question, City Heights, is adjacent to the Hennepin County Government Center. It has 52 living units. Those living units all have kitchens, they all have bathrooms, they all have sewer and water. They all have heat and cooling. They have floors, they have windows, they have exterior walls. They have everything any condominium would have. Those 52 units are on two floors. Additionally, because this was at one time an extended stay hotel, there were five cleaning closets. They're designated to be storage units in the documents. They range in size from a smallest one of 15 square feet to the largest of 109 square feet. My unit is in the middle at 68 square feet. The governing declaration provides that all expenses are assessed proportionately, that is, based upon square footage. There is a key exception that governs here. The exception says that, however, certain expenses shall be assessed on a different basis or against one or fewer than all units under the following circumstances. And you go down to B. And any common expense or portion thereof benefiting fewer than all of the units may be assessed exclusively against the units benefited based upon, and then there's four criteria. Equality, they could all be assessed equally against the living units. Square footage against the living units. It could be the actual cost incurred with respect to the living units, Or C, insurance could be assessed in proportion to risk or coverage, and utilities may be assessed according to proportion or usage. So what are the fees for which the storage unit is assessed to which it does not benefit? Sewer and water. It gets every month it gets assessed for sewer and water. It has no plumbing. It gets assessed for heating and cooling. There are no heat vents. There's no cooling. It gets assessed for window washing. There are no windows. It gets assessed for garbage disposal. There is no garbage. It gets assessed for a roof deck with grills, which it doesn't use because it doesn't have any inhabitants. It gets assessed for a laundry unit and maintenance of a laundry unit and equipment when it doesn't use a laundry unit. And again, the five storage units comprise roughly 1% of all of the units, yet they're being assessed equally with the units that are actually benefiting.
Well, could I ask you a question? I'm looking at the definition of unit, and that the definition of unit includes both the residential and the storage units, correct?
Correct.
So that's part of that definition as to, what can be considered a unit. Then you go down to Article 2, and then it does say the allocation of common element interests, votes, and common expense liabilities to units. I assume that would include the storage units, right? The way that word has been defined. Am I correct?
You're correct.
And then it says the percentage of the undivided interest in the common elements, common expense liabilities, and votes in the association shall be based on the square footage of each unit. So, and the word is shall, so that's mandatory, right?
Right.
All right. So that when we're looking at that provision, then the allocation that was done here would fall under that provision unless you qualify under B. Am I correct? In other words, if B didn't, let's assume for a second that B didn't exist. Essentially, what the allocation was determined based on Section 7, correct? Am I correct on that?
Section 7 governs. You are correct.
All right. So your argument is really whether you fall within the exception under B. Is that correct?
Under Section 7B, that is correct.
All right. But then under Section B, it doesn't say shall. It says may be assessed exclusively. So doesn't that imply that it's a discretionary call?
No, because if you look at Section 7, the exception says, however, certain expenses shall be assessed on a different basis. So once you have an assessment which doesn't benefit a unit, or benefits fewer than all units, then you drop down into B. However, Your Honor, if it were to be permissive, then it falls within the parameters of the statutory obligation of good faith, and it presents a fact issue as to whether or not the action of the board in assessing a storage unit for expenses which offers no benefit is appropriate.
But in 7B, the word units is capitalized, and generally that means it's a defined term, correct?
Correct.
So how do you read that definition of units as being something other than the condo plus the storage unit if you're one of the units that has a storage unit?
I would say that the storage unit is a unit, but it is a unit that doesn't benefit from the assessment.
Well, let's just, they actually give an example, which is, I think is easily understandable, is if you have one unit that gets a window replacement. How is this situation analogous to that? Because, I mean, you're complaining about, these general expenses, that would apply to all of the common, to all of the units. How is this different here? Because here they use, as Judge Siegel pointed out, they use the word units with a capital U, indicating it includes both the apartment and the storage unit. How is the claims you're making distinguishable from that of a window being replaced, where there's only one unit getting the benefit of that replacement?
Well, that's a good example, because the special assessment of $4,000 here against the storage unit, which has a value of $2,000, that assessment of $4,000 was for window replacement. However, the storage units are excluded because they don't have windows. So you can't, under that example, it would be inappropriate to assess a storage unit for a window that it doesn't have.
But you're defining a unit to only be a storage unit, not a storage unit and the actual condo. I mean, aren't you changing the definition of unit there? Because you're reading it as unit being the storage unit, separate and independent from that of the actual residential unit. And that's not, I don't know how you can do that with the definition.
Well, the storage unit is separate. It has a separate legal description. It's not attached. It's down the hall. I concede that it is a unit that is to be proportionately assessed if it benefits from the assessment. But here, because it gets no benefit from the assessment, I submit that under the mandatory provision, however certain expenses shall be assessed on a different basis, that it shouldn't be assessed. And I would say, if I'm wrong and it's permissive, then the question is it reasonable to assess?
Except if I were to accept, I mean, if in fact the condominium association intended that, why would they use the word units, which had been defined as including both residential and storage units, instead of just saying storage unit?
Because the storage units are the only units. Any common expense benefiting fewer than all of the units. Well, the only expense benefiting fewer than all of the units, those units are the storage units, because the other living units all benefit from them. They all have the heat, they all have the plumbing, everything.
But then you're separating the storage units from the residential units and treating them separately, right? Under your analysis?
Under my analysis, if a living unit, hypothetically, if a living unit didn't have sewer and water, then I would submit that they shouldn't get assessed for sewer and water assessments. But because they all have sewer and water, it becomes moot. Or if a living unit didn't have a window, for example, then I would submit that that unit, even though it's defined as a unit, should not be assessed for a new window when it doesn't have one. May I proceed?
Yes, you may.
Oh, thank you. So my first point is that the assessment for expenses is mandatory, that certain expenses shall be assessed on a different basis under Section 7. My second point is that, assuming I'm wrong, and assuming that it is permissive, and that the board has the option to make a decision as to whether or not to for example, specially assess for windows, if they make a decision to specially assess a unit for $4,000 for windows when it doesn't have windows, then that assessment is subject to MnSTAT Section 515B113, which provides an obligation of good faith. That obligation of good faith requires a fact decision by a jury as to whether or not that assessment for expenses which do not benefit the unit is reasonable or not reasonable. And for that, I would cite to the Horodinsky case, which is in my brief. And in the Horodinsky case, there was a plaintiff who refused to pay his assessments because he wanted repairs made. In turn, in enforcing the collection of the assessment, he was charged attorney's fees. He then brought an action claiming that it was in bad faith for the association to bring the attorney fee claim against him. And the court held that that was a fact issue, but decided it as a matter of law because there were no facts in dispute, because it was indisputed that the Horodinsky plaintiff had failed to remain current on his fees. In our case, the Mellors have always been current on the fees, and there never was a default, so therefore there was no basis to make any claim for attorney's fees or expenses against them. I finally want to turn to the attorney
fee. You are almost out of time, Mr. Miller. I just want you to know, in fact, the time's expiring right now.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
You'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Counsel for respondent, you may proceed. You're on mute, Mr.
Yeah,
Counsel.
Here I am.
There you go.
I'm Christopher Hayhoe. I'm from Fellhaber Larson in Minneapolis. I represent the respondent in this case, the City Heights Condominium at Center Village Association. And our view, Your Honors, is that the district court committed no error in either its November 12, 2019 order in which it granted the association's motion for summary judgment, including summary judgment on its counterclaim for attorney's fees and costs, and on the order in which attorney's fees and costs were awarded on February 6th of 2020. As Your Honors have noted, appellant's principal argument is that Article 2, Section 7 of the Declaration requires that the association's board allocate common expense liabilities to their storage unit only to the extent that, in their judgment, a given expense benefits the unit. Now, the declaration does not contain a definition of benefit. According to the appellants here, benefit has to be direct. And we submit that that isn't a necessary or reasonable interpretation of the word benefit. They say their storage unit receives no benefit from the common expenses. And so in their complaints up the line, they have sought to be repaid every assessment payment that they've made since 2007 on their storage unit. Further, they say that only the residential units should be allocated common expenses since they're the only units that benefit from them. Such things as sewer and water and windows in their storage unit does not. But that isn't what the declaration provides. As it's been noted today, the declaration, which was created by the developer back in 2004 and has not been amended, allocates common expenses among all the units, both residential and storage units, alike on the basis of their square footage, as shown on Exhibit 8 of the declaration. This is the way that common expenses have been allocated to all units since 2004. And neither does subpart B of Section 7 of Article 2 support appellant's claims. It says that any common expense or portion thereof, which benefits fewer than all of the units, and it is a capital U, so fewer than all of the residential and or storage units, may be assessed exclusively against the capital U units benefited in one
you
of
know, the- I, can I yeah. ask you, as I understand it, so if someone doesn't have a storage unit, they're going to be assessed less than someone that does have a storage unit, right? Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that to the extent that And part of the rationale, I assume, is that so people who don't have storage units aren't basically supporting people who do have the extra square footage in paying for all the common areas.
That's right. And they the storage units are not separately transferable to someone who doesn't own a residential unit. They have to be owned by the owner of a residential unit. So they're an adjunct, they're an additional space that benefits the parties who are occupying a residential unit. These are small units. The unit that's owned by appellants is 429 square feet. So the storage unit is a significant benefit to them because it provides an additional space for them to keep their property. And there's no reason why those who don't have the benefit of a storage unit, and there's only five of them, should subsidize those parties who have that benefit. And again, going back to 2004, if you look at the declarations Exhibit A, it lists all 52 residential units, and then it also lists the five storage units. And their percentage of the overall square footage of the property is allocated to them in that exhibit for purposes of paying common expenses. And so there's no error on the part of the board of directors of the association in making that allocation. And none of the subparts in Section 7 of Article 2, which deals with the allocation of assessments, none of those seven, including B and C, is mandatory. They all say may. And so it's discretionary with the board as to whether or not in a given expense to allocate it to only certain units or to others. And you can see.
Why don't you explain this then? I know that the B says may, but if you look at the provision before B, that last sentence, I think says shall.
Right.
So how do you explain, or how would you interpret that? Because it says if there can be a differentiation, they shall be.
And that's it. You have to go to one of the subparts, and if the board concludes that subpart should apply in a given instance, then the shall applies and mandates that's how those expenses will be paid.
So are we to look, and I didn't mean, Judge Hooten, are you done?
Because okay. I'm sure you're going to follow up on that.
So if the association board makes an arbitrary decision and tries to get all units to pay for one person's window that they knocked out in a drunken stupor, for example, then do we look to good faith under state law? I mean, it can't just be arbitrary. I mean, what is the guidance? You said there is no definition of the word benefit. So how is that to be interpreted?
It seems to me that the association board does have a duty to act reasonably. But in applying the language of the declaration as they have since 2004, I think that it's not contestable that they have acted reasonably. Now, the appellants here paid their assessments, as counsel has noted, since 2004 without objection until 2019 when they got this special assessment. They never contested or claimed that any of the expenses that they were allocated was unfair or unreasonable. And by the way, the board was aware of appellant's complaints and considered them. And so because they didn't agree with the appellants doesn't mean that they acted arbitrarily or capriciously. They acted in a considered way. And it seems to me that under these circumstances where the association's board consistently since 2004 has applied these provisions in the declaration in a consistent manner, that it's not reasonable to conclude that they acted other than in good faith. I would like to point out that this example that's in subpart B, that too is discretionary. It says that the replacement of a window or window component, those expenses that relate to that may choose to allocate expenses relating to the replacement of window to the unit which the window serves, but it doesn't say that it has to. And so again, this is something that is vested in the discretion of the association board. And the remedy is not in court for this kind of a dispute. It's for the homeowner, the unit owner, to contest it with the board of directors. They were heard and their position was not accepted. And so it seems to us that there's nothing that the board has done here that is unreasonable or that doesn't follow exactly the strictures of the declaration, and which, by the way, is based upon two provisions in the Minnesota Common Interest Ownership Act, sections 2108 dealing with the allocation of interests, and 3115 dealing with the manner of assessments.
And can I ask you this? I think you've already answered it, but I just want to make sure I understand your answer, because I've found the provision, first of all, if we look at section 7, that last sentence says, however, and I think this is what council's really focusing in on, and that's what I think we need to respond to. However, certain expenses shall be assessed on a different basis or against one or fewer than all units under the following circumstances. So there's the word shall, and we all know what that means. But then B has the word may be assessed exclusively. How do you read those two provisions together to make sense of? The word shall, because they're talking about the same situation.
Right. Well, it seems to me that it says it shall be assessed on a different basis, and then it refers to one of the seven or to the seven subparts here. You have to go to each subpart. Each one of them says may. Each one of them is permissive. But like under subpart A, which deals with limited common elements, if the board concludes that a specific repair cost that the association incurs should be billed to the unit owner, then it shall be assessed on that basis. That's how I read it. You have to do the analysis under the subparts and then come back to that phrase in order to make those two reconcile. And I think that's how it's been applied. Okay.
All right. What about the attorney's fees? I mean, I don't think it's disputed that the appellants paid everything they were supposed to pay throughout here, and that this was not an enforcement action because they'd paid everything. How, on what basis does the association have a right to attorney's fees?
No, Your Honor, it is an enforcement action because the association was sued in order to alter the way in which common expenses were being allocated to the storage units or to a storage unit. And the association had to defend itself in order to establish that the declaration's allocations and the way it was being enforced by the board was correct. And so enforcement doesn't have to mean only that you're taking legal action or collection action. It's got two parts to it in that part of the statute. And so it seems to me, this is subpart D of section 7 of article 2. And it says the enforcement of the articles, bylaws, this declaration or rules and regulations against an owner or occupant. That's what we're doing here, is enforcing the terms of the declaration in a manner consistent with the way it's been applied. And our position is that the association should not, the other 51 residential owners should not subsidize this action by the complainants, by the appellants. This is something that they should pay the association's expenses in defending. Thank you.
you're on, Judge Flory, you're moving.
Yeah, you've completed your arguments then, Mr. Hayhoe?
I have. Thank you, Your Honor.
You're welcome. Mr. Miller, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you wish.
Thank you, Your Honor. Can you hear me?
We can.
Thank you. The attorney fee issue cries out for relief. Attorney fee provision in any document, when a consumer is challenging, we always tell the plaintiff, pay your fees. You've got an attorney fee provision in there. Don't fail to pay your fees. Be current. That way you don't have to worry about paying the other side's attorney's fees. So if you can be current and you can comply with every provision of a note or a lease or whatever, and you can still be liable for attorney's fees, that's going to have a huge chilling effect on plaintiffs on a go-forward basis. And that is not a good result to come out of this case. Let me give you an example. If under the Section 7F, if any damage to the common elements or another unit is caused by the act or omission of any unit owner or their invitees, the association may assess the cost of the damage exclusively against the unit owner's unit. So if my neighbor smashes out a window and I get assessed $10,000 to fix the window, I can pay that $10,000 special assessment, but I should thereafter have the opportunity to say, hey, that's not reasonable that you assessed me for that $10,000 because I had nothing to do with it. I should be able to challenge the reasonableness of that assessment without fear of having to pay the attorney's fees of the association who made the mistake of charging me $10,000 for something that I didn't do. And that then dovetails into counsel's admission that it is a discretionary act which is subject to reasonableness. And the question then becomes, if you ignore my mandatory argument and you say that it is discretionary, then an association which assesses a storage unit for $4,000 to replace exterior windows when it doesn't have exterior windows, that is clearly unreasonable. At the very least, it's a fact question for the jury. And under the Semler construction case, which I cited, v. Hanover, and under the Horodinsky case, it's clear that under Minnesota law, the issue of whether or not an association is acting in good faith and reasonably is a fact issue for the jury. And count two of my amended complaint specifically sets forth a claim, an alternative claim, that if I'm wrong, that it's not mandatory that the assessment benefit the unit and it is discretionary, then I have an opportunity to continue to argue it's unreasonable for you to assess me for $4,000 for windows and walls when I don't have windows and walls. And when you think about it, the reason that you assess for windows is because windows leak into the living unit benefiting from the windows. If the windows leak into a living unit, why should the owner of a storage unit have to pay $4,000 to replace windows, which it doesn't have? So I submit that it's a question, either I'm right and it's mandatory, or I'm wrong and it's a question of reasonableness, in which case, whether the board acted reasonably in making these assessments for expenses which had no benefit to the storage unit, that's a jury question, which I should get to a jury. And on the issue of the attorney fee provision, the attorney fee provision requires the expense of collection, and there can't be any expense of collection where the plaintiff is at all times current. Now, the trial court also references, well, there may be future, it may also be future expenses. Well, if there are future illegal expenses charged, then those can be reassessed against the units benefiting, not against the storage unit. So I submit that the actions of the association are in all respects unreasonable, and there is no basis for assessing attorney's fees against the appellants for the cost of collection when there was nothing to collect. Thank you for your time.
Thank you to both counsel. We will take the matter under advisement and we'll issue a decision in the matter within 90 days. We stand adjourned on this matter at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.